Bibles, John chapter 10. I told you I've been, you know, the Bible talks about the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh, and I've been studying through John in just my personal time. Now we're as a church, we're going through 2 Corinthians. We haven't finished that yet, and we've also kind of found our way into Ecclesiastes. We haven't finished that yet. We're getting there on all those. In order to hit all the stuff that I've got in my heart, we'd have to have church service every day, really. But well, me and you can meet later. We'll do that. We'll have every day. But I'm also still in my own study through the book of John, and as I'm doing it, just things keep popping up that are just really encouraging to me, and so it becomes kind of the abundance of my heart. I feel like I need to share them with you when it comes on Sunday, so that's what we've kind of been doing a little bit lately. And as I've gone through it, I'll just tell you what I've written at the top of all my chapters. I mean, you've got chapter headings in your Bible already, but I've got my own. I don't know that I trust theirs all the time. So I've done my own, and I wrote chapter 1, Jesus is the light and the word. And then in chapter 2, he's the miracle worker. That's the beginning of miracles. In chapter 3, he's the second birth. He talked about with Nicodemus. And then in chapter 4, the woman at the well, he is the well of water. And then in chapter 5, he is the healer, the man that was there for 38 years. And in chapter 6, he's the bread of life. And then in chapter 7, Jesus says, I am the water. And then in chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. In chapter 9, Jesus gives sight to one born blind. So he's a sight giver. And then when you get to chapter 10, he's two things in chapter 10 that I want to talk to you about this morning. He's the door and the shepherd. He's both in the same parable. And so I want to kind of give you that thought. I've titled it The Door, but really he's the door and the shepherd for the sheepfold. I want to start reading in John chapter 10 and verse number 1, and we'll read the first 6 verses there, and then I'll preach a message about this morning. John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door. Now, I don't know if you do this. I underline, mark, circle, highlight things in my Bible, and I underline key words. When I come across a key word, a word that I feel like is key, I underline it all the time. It's not always is it a key word for the text, but as I'm going through, I underline. I go back and relook at them. That may be a study tip for you. But he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then from verse 7 down, he's going to go into explaining what this parable is. But just to set you up, I told you the key words I underlined, there's some key words. One is he talks about the sheep. And the sheep, really, when he's talking about sheep, he's not literally talking about sheep. He's talking about us. In fact, later on when he talks about the sheep, he's going to say, if any man will enter in. So he's talking about a man, not just sheep. But let me tell you something that we can relate to sheep a little bit. Sheep are dumb. How many can say amen right there? Amen. You say, wait a minute, this sounds insulting. Well, we are. We're actually, those of us that are lost in our sins, separated from God, we are dumb in the things of God. So we are that. And we are dependent. And so sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. And so we have the sheep. And then we have a sheepfold. A sheepfold is, as shepherds lead their sheep in, maybe to go to the city, maybe they'd have a sheepfold, maybe rocks or maybe a cave or sometimes a brush. However they'd build it, they'd build like a fenced-in area with one door. And then what they would do is all the shepherds would come in, they'd maybe put all their sheep in there, and they would stay there overnight. You'd have a porter or you'd have somebody, a shepherd guarding the door, guarding the sheep, making sure they stayed safe. And maybe those other shepherds can go, and then when they'd come back, what that would be, that's the sheepfold with all the sheep in it. Then a shepherd who takes care of the sheep would maybe come the next day. The porter would know it's the right guy. He would come in, the porter would introduce him in. And then that shepherd, I did some research on this and watched it. I thought about getting a video for you, but I just thought it'd take too much trying to get it set up. But you can do it. You can Google shepherds calling their sheep. And they would come to the gate, and then they would begin to call their sheep by name. And their sheep would recognize their shepherd's voice. Now, the other sheep that were there, They would not recognize that shepherd's voice. Their shepherd had not come. And so when that shepherd would speak, those sheep would raise their head and they would move out of the crowd and move with him. And then he would, like the Bible says, lead them out into the pasture where they would go out and they would find green grass. That would take place. Now, some would say, I don't know if that really happens like that. It does. I watched the video. You can look it up. And you see some people coming, and the shepherd gave the people the words to say, the pitch to say it with, how to say it, and had them stand there at the entry and begin to call the sheep. The sheep were out in the field, and a couple of sheep raised up, looked at them, and they went right back to eating. And then he had somebody else come and do the same thing, same words, same pitch, same everything, and the sheep raised up, went right back into eating, doing nothing. Then the man came that was the shepherd of the sheep, and as he began to call their names, they began to make noise and set up, and they all began from all the different areas to run to where he was at, and then he walked in front of them, and they all followed him wherever he went. That's exactly the way it works. Let me tell you something. Animals are dumb, but they're smarter than some of us sometimes. I remember when I was in Thailand, I was watching, I saw something I thought was one of the most amazing things. I've got it on my computer on a video, but there is, in the mornings, a guy will come by on a moped in the town that we were in, and he would, a little motorcycle would come in, and as he drove through, everybody would loosen up their ox would get behind the moped, and the guy would lead them out into a field, and when they got out to the field, they would graze, do whatever they were doing in the field that day. That evening, we were sitting there one evening, and they were cooking outside. That's where their kitchen was at. They were outside cooking, and I heard a motorcycle coming, and we all got up and watched, and the motorcycle went down the dirt road, and all this, I mean, it was hundreds of bison or water buffaloes that it was come in behind them, just running behind the motorcycle. And I thought, I wonder where they're going. So I stood out there and watched. Oh, this is interesting. And as I watched, one of the most amazing things, as they went through, when a buffalo would get to the house that he belonged to, that was his house, his fence, his gate, his opening, he would peel off the group and go into his little entryway, and then the owner, they had the gates open, he'd peel off, and they had a corral, they opened up the corral, and that water buffalo would just walk right in and go in the corral, and he'd shut the door. And I thought, that's amazing. I watched one, he peeled off to go in, and as he got to the entryway, he stopped, looked around, and realized he was one too early, and he backed up, and he went around, and he went into the next one. And so they're actually smart, the animals are, and so what he's showing you here is they know where they belong. They know who they belong to, and so that's what you're seeing. You see a door. A door in the sheepfold is there's only one entry in and one entry out. That's what he's saying. He said the thieves come, and they try to jump or come in a different way than the door. The porter is the one that kind of introduces him into the sheepfold or brings him in or is watching it. And the shepherd is the one that leads and cares for the sheep. Now, let me give you some explanation about this and give you some context with it. The sheep and the sheepfold that he's talking to are the Jewish people there. That's his audience. They're the sheep in the sheepfold. They're in what they believe at that time. Jesus is coming. This is what he's saying. I'm coming to them. I'm gonna call them, and all those that are supposed to come, all those that will come, they're going to come out of what they're currently locked up in, this belief system that they're in. They're going to come out, and they're going to follow the one and true shepherd, the Messiah. They're going to get in behind me. I'm going to lead them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to take care of them. They're going to come out. I'm going to call. They're going to recognize my voice. I know who belongs to me. They're coming out. They're going to follow me, and I'm going to take them into green pastures. That's what he's trying to say. He is the shepherd. They are the sheep, and they're in a sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold. Look down at verse number 16, and it says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." What he's doing is he's going to bring all the sheep that are in this many things. He's going to bring them out and make one new sheepfold of all the sheep together. I'm hoping I'm not losing you here. But when you get to verse 16, you know what that's saying? Not just the Jews are going to be part of this, but also Gentiles are going to be part of this. Amen. Now, the reason why you can say amen right there is because that's you. That's you. And so you get to be part of the sheepfold, and that's, if you want a connection for that, Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3 talks about the middle wall of partition has been broke down there, and now Jew and Gentile are both one in Christ. And so we're both following the same shepherd now, and we're both part of the same sheepfold. That's the context of kind of what's going on here. You say, well, who's the porter? I don't know, your guess is as good as mine, who the porter is in the story. But I would imagine in the situation going on with Jesus, maybe you could make an argument that it's John the Baptist, because he's the one that's ushered in Christ to the sheep, saying, prepare the way for the coming Messiah. You could maybe say that if you wanted to. But the shepherd is going to lead the sheep, and they're going to follow him. Now, the problem that you see, who are the thieves and the robbers? What's going on? Well, the context of where it's at, remember, we always talk about you got to find the context. The context of where chapter 10 is at is it comes right after chapter 9. How many can say amen right there? You figured out that 9 comes before 10. That's good. Now, chapter 9, the way chapter 9 ends, all the way through chapter 9, you've got a man that is born blind. Jesus heals him. Unfortunately, it's on the Sabbath day that this guy happens to be blind, runs into Jesus, and the Pharisees become upset. And the Pharisees, now watch, they've got a different way to get to God. They're coming a different way, and they're rejecting the one true way, the door, Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something else. The thief that says has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I tell you something? Those Pharisees, those rabbis at that time, they did not care about those sheep. In fact, here's a man that's born blind, and now he gets his sight given to him. And what do they do with him by the end? When you get to chapter 9, you get to verse number 33, they kicked him out of the synagogue. We don't want you here anymore because you claim that Jesus is the one that's doing this for you. They don't care. They don't care. They didn't care about the sheep at all. That's the thief that doesn't care. They just want to see what they can get from the sheep. So here's the context. Jesus is now, the context is he's still talking to the same Pharisees and Jews that were during that time. Here he is. Now catch it. He's standing in front of them. And in their society, they know everything about sheep, sheepfold, shepherds. That's their society. With Pharisees sitting there who don't really care about the sheep, and some of the sheep standing there, he begins to show them this parable and begins to tell them, this is the sheepfold, and I am the shepherd and the door, and I'm calling the sheep out of where they're at now because they're under the rule of a bunch of thieves and robbers that don't really care for them. Now, I'm sure, like I told you last week, the Pharisees would get offended with that statement, but that's the audience that he's dealing with. And he's saying, listen, you're under the thieves and the robbers, but I am the way, I'm the door. And if you will just hear my voice and you will follow me, I will lead you from where you're at, out from underneath the thieves and the robbers. I'll be your shepherd. I'll lead you to greener pastures. And that's what he's trying to do. That's the context of it. And when you get down to verse number 7, what he's going to do is he's going to begin to tell them and do a little bit of contrast with this. In verse number 7, then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's going to make it very clear, I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. And he's going to show some comparisons and some contrast there. And in verse number 7, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And then when he says, I'm the good shepherd, here's another contrast that he does. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. He does some contrast there. I want you to see with the audience. Remember the audience again. It's people that don't really care about the sheep, and some of the sheep there, some of the people. So the contrast. He says, I'm the shepherd, and they won't follow the stranger. So some of these are saying, why are they following you? Why you're got a devil. Why are they following? He's saying, the true sheep, they're not going to follow a stranger. I'm not a stranger. I'm the shepherd. That's what he's saying to him. He's trying to prove a point. That's what the idea of it. And then he says to him, I'm a door. And anybody that comes a different way than what I am telling you to come, he's telling them very clearly, you got to believe in me. You come any other way than that, you're a thief and a robber. There's a contrast. And the last contrast is the shepherd and the hireling, because he takes care of his sheep. And the way Jesus operates and the way we should operate is when we see people, we ought to feel the same way Jesus felt about them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's why we ought to be moved. That's why missionaries go to where they go, is because they see a need and they say, our heart is moved with compassion because I see those people as a sheep without a shepherd, and they need a shepherd. That's the comparison and the contrast he's trying to make. But let me focus in with you for the next 15 minutes on the door. The door and the shepherd. Let me show you some things about the door. Number one, look at verse number 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And in verse number 9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Say it.
Saved.
He shall be saved. The first thing I want you to see is the door brings salvation. Jesus is the door. He's the door. It becomes confusing as you say, I thought he was a shepherd. Yep, he's the door and the shepherd. But you can't get to the shepherd until you go through the door. And so he is the door. He's the door that brings salvation. You say, explain that to me. Watch. He's the doorway that brings them out of what they used to be into what they're going to be now. In Ephesians chapter 2, your Bible tells us that we were born in dead in our trespasses and our sins, but God, who was rich in mercy, and then we come out of that and walk in a new course of life with him. That's bringing us out of the old and into the new. God's been doing that forever. When you look back at the children of Israel, when they were caught up in Egypt, and he applied the blood to the what? To the door. And when that blood of that lamb was applied to the door, all those that had the blood, the death angel came over, and they were able to come out from Egypt into the promised land, or heading that way. He's always been calling people out of the old into the new. One of these days, hopefully very soon, the Lord, there's going to be a shout from heaven, there's going to be a trumpet. He'll call us out of this world into that world. That's what he does. He calls people out of the old into the new. That's what he does. And so that is the thing of salvation. He's calling people out of what they used to be caught up in. I don't care if it's religion. I don't care if it's your sin. Whatever you're caught up in, he's wanting to call you out of that into him. That's what he's calling. And there's only one way. There's only one way. He is the door. He's the door. The Bible says in John 14, 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is not many ways. There's not several ways. There's not two ways or three ways. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way. He says, if anybody else says, I'm gonna go a different way, he said, what they are is a thief and a robber. They're not walking the right way. And so he is the only way. In 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way to have our sins forgiven. There's only one way that we can go to heaven. There's only one way that we have access to the Father. There's only one way we become a child of God. And that's through the door that brings salvation. But the second thing you see in verse number 9, after it says, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The first thing is the door brings salvation. The second thing is the door brings substance. Watch what he says. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Meaning after you go through the door, once you go through that with him, now you find substance for life. He said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he said, I've come that you might have what? Life, and you might have life more abundantly. He's come to give you. So he says, well, that's what I was looking for with Jesus. I was looking for a Mercedes and a nice house. Not talking about life more abundantly like that. He's talking about you're able to go feed in green pastures and have exactly what you need for life. That's what it is. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. In verse 32 of the same chapter, chapter 20, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Do you know how he feeds you? You know where you get the green pastures? You know where you get fed from God? You get fed in the word of God. The Bible talks about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That's what this is. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, we talk about speaking the truth in love. We talked about that before, that you may grow up into him in all things. The idea is for you to have a daily diet of the word of God that you may grow up into him. That's what it is. That's what the green pasture. You say, I'm looking for green pastures. They're right here in the word of God. He said, how do I get to the place where I can begin to understand the Word of God? Because the natural man can't understand the things of God. How do I get them? You got to go through the door. If you go through the door of Jesus Christ and you get Him and He has you, now you can go into the green pastures and you can begin to be filled up with the Word of God. That's what you can do. And so that's what it is. I read you in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're talking about the under-shepherd. You can turn there if you want, but I'll read it to you very quickly. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Paul says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Here's what he says to do. Feed the flock. I asked a guy one time, what do you think that flock is? He said, I don't know, a flock of geese? I don't know. It's a flock of sheep. That's what he says. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, who's that? That's Jesus Christ. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, he's telling the under-shepherds, you know who we are? We're here to help you feed in the green pastures. That's why you've got a Word of God and you've got pastors and teachers is to help you get the right feeding in the green pastures. That's what you've got. That's what this is about. And that's what he's telling them to do. And so salvation, the door brings salvation to the sheep. But not only that, the door brings substance to the sheep. Let me tell you the last thing that the door does. If you look, actually it's the shepherd does this part in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf scattereth them catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The last thing that the shepherd part does, and you can't get to the shepherd but by going through the door, the last thing that the shepherd part does is it brings security to the sheep. Amen. Security to the sheep. And so what the idea is, the shepherds used to lay at the gate. There's only one opening, lay at the door of the sheepfold to make sure nothing got in and nothing got out that wasn't supposed to. None of the sheep could get out once they got in to the sheep, to his sheepfold, and nothing bad was going to get into the sheepfold. And that's what he does, and that's what the good shepherd does. Now, you know what it tells me when I read this? It means trouble will come, but it means the shepherd will be there with you through any of those things. I want you to look at me in Psalm 23 just very quickly. You can turn to Psalm 23 because you know this psalm very well. But in Psalm 23... and I want you to see the parallel of what we've just mentioned, we've just talked about, and what Psalm 23 says. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can I tell you, he doesn't need to be your neighbor's shepherd or your wife's shepherd or your husband's shepherd. He needs to be your shepherd. Yes, sir. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, which just means there's no lack of anything in my life. I don't have any wants because he's my shepherd. He's taking care of me. And in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's what the shepherd does. He takes you to the green pastures. He leadeth me, and that's what the shepherd will do beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then watch this now, because I want you to get this. Somebody says, well, I'm with the shepherd. I'm never going to have any problems in my life. No. In verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to be without trouble, but you can't be without fear. He says, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they, what? Comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. So it's going to be there. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Back in John chapter 10, I find something that's very interesting when it talks about the security of the sheep because they're with the shepherd. He goes on, and in verse number 26 of John chapter 10, he makes a great statement that all of you know very well. He says, but ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. And watch what he says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's the security. That's the security of the believer. That's the security that comes with following the shepherd. That's what you have. Now, so what I'm saying is, it's not a promise that there's never be trouble once you come out of the old fold and you come through the door and you begin to follow him, and you got him in salvation. Now you begin to follow him to green pastures. Doesn't mean you're never going to have trouble. It just means that he will be with you all the way through any of the trouble. And you, while he said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What he was saying is there is going to be trouble, but you don't have to be troubled about the trouble. And so what he's saying here is, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thou art with me. And that's the idea. When I was talking to Brother Gene this last several weeks, he was in a lot of pain. A lot of pain the other day because he would not take any pain medicine. And then we were over there, we prayed with him. Sometime during that week, we've all been praying. Sometime during that week, they told me all the pain went away, just left. And now he was just laying there and he was doing pretty good. I went over there on Thursday after the funeral we went to. I went over on Thursday. And when I was over there, all of his family, he had called his family and said, I want everybody to come. I think the Lord will take me home today. So call everybody. So I had already said I'm on my way, and they said, good, because we were calling you to see if you can come. He feels like today will be the day that he'll go. I went there, laid there next to bed, in the bed, next to him, and hold his hand and talk to him. Boy, he was just cutting up. He's like, I can't wait to see the Lord. I can't wait to see heaven. He was saying all these things. His daughter was coming up. You know, obviously, they're tore up, and so they were crying. And he said, don't cry. I'm at peace. He said, it's going to be beautiful over there. There's things like that that people that are lost can't say that. People that are saved, you know why he can say it? He says, though I go to the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thou art with me. The idea is sometimes you think, well, if he's with me, I would never go through something. No, we may go through stuff, but we can have peace as we go through it, knowing that we're going to go through it. He's going to go through it with us. You can have peace. And so that's what I saw. But he told his daughter was crying, and he said, watch this. And this is what he told her. He said, I can laugh. And he began to laugh just hysterically. And she said, oh, Dad. He says, no, I can laugh. And he began to laugh. This is a man that just a week ago I was watching. He said, I'm in so much pain, I can't take it. And I asked him, I said, have y'all given him any medicine? And they said, yeah. I said, oh, really? Oh, so you've given him medicine. I thought maybe it was a medicine talking. She said, yeah, we gave him a Tylenol a little while ago. So it wasn't the medicine talking. That was God talking in him. And so that's just things that people can have. But let me tell you something. You can only have the shepherd if you go through the door. You can't have the shepherd leading you and guiding you and directing you and taking you to green pastures and watching over and guiding you and helping you through all the troubles of life. You can't have that without first going through the door. I thought about this, and because the illustration I'm giving you is an illustration that they had in their time. No, I don't know, and there might be a few of them in here. I don't think there's very many sheep farmers in here this morning. There might be some. There's probably some that know about sheep farming. But for the multitude, you don't know anything about sheep farming. So I started thinking, what is another kind of way to illustrate this? But you all know about doors. I thought, well, everybody knows about doors. And so I begin to think about something. I just want to tell you in closing a couple of things here. You can't have the shepherd without the door. But let me tell you how some people approach the door. Watch now. Some people think that they can bypass the door. Now, you can try to bypass the door. You can go, you say, well, I'm not taking the door of Jesus Christ. I'll take the way of religion. You can't get to where you need to be by going to the door of the way of religion. That's jumping the wall. The only way to get there is through the door, which is Jesus Christ. So he says, well, and I heard it this week at some place we went to. They talked about you got to be baptized by us and us alone. That's not the way to heaven. That's the way to hell. That's not the right way. That baptism cannot save anybody. Now the reason why there's only four amens right there is because some people don't know what to believe when it comes to some of those things. But if you just study your Bible, you'd find out all the way through this, what he told him is, you must believe. You must receive. That's the way to salvation. Now, baptism, if you look through it, comes every time after a person gets saved. Somebody says, I'm going the religious way. You're not going the right way then. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. So he has a way, he has a way, he has a way, he has a way, he has a way. They all have a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof of all those ways, the Bible says, is the ways of death. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to get there, and the only way you get the shepherd is by going through Jesus Christ, amen, through the door. Now, some people say, well, I'll bypass the door. Some of them, I like this one. I thought about these. Some people come and sit on the doorstep every week and admire how beautiful the door is and then leave. People do that all the time. You say, what do you mean? People come to church, they sit in, they go, man, that was a great sermon. Well, maybe not this one, but some sermons, they say, that was a great sermon. That was great. That was wonderful. Man, Jesus sure is good. I'm glad there's a Jesus out there. I'm glad of all these things. Had great fellowship, had a great time. And they walk away without ever going through the door. They come every week, and they're excited about seeing the door. Yeah, but they never go through the door. That's what you need. You need to go through the door. Well, some people do that. So I thought about people that come and sit on the doorstep. And let me tell you this, if that's you, then what I'm trying to tell you to do is you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. Stop just visiting the door. Go through the door. Go through the door of faith in Jesus Christ and no other way. Some bypass the door. Some come sit at the doorstep and watch the door. Some, I thought this was a pretty good one, some people carry the door around with them everywhere they go, but they've never gone through the door. I thought about that in Thailand. That's what they do. Because in Thailand, you can go up and you can say, well, Buddha, this, and they follow all that stuff. And you tell them about Jesus Christ. And they say, oh, that's great. Let me add him to my other things that I already believe. And if I add him to those things, then he's a catch-all. If Buddha doesn't save me, then Jesus will. And so what they've done is they've grabbed the door, put it under their arm, and they carry it around everywhere they go with Buddha under the other arm. And that's where they're going through life. But you see, people in America do the same thing. Is what they say is, well, that's a great principle to live by. I'll be good to my neighbor. I'll be good to my friends. I'll be good. And I'll do some good things because Jesus was a good man and did some good things. Can I tell you something? He's more than a good man. He's God in the flesh and the Savior of the world. And so you got to put your faith and trust in him, not carry around his principles with you. You're going to have to now go through the door. You got to go through the door. Some carry around the door. Let me tell you two other ones real quickly. Some people approach the door and they see a sign that says, you've seen it before, no shoes, no shirt, no service. You've seen that before? Some of you have. I don't know if they have them up north. I know they have them in the south. No shoes, no shirt, no service. They have to do it in the south because everybody's walking around with no shoes, no shirts, and wanting service. But the idea is, listen, some people see when they approach Christ, they come into church. Now watch now. Come into church, they're approaching the door, and they say, well, I got to clean up first before I can go through the door. But see, that's wrong. I ask you this all the time, and I wish you'd get this, is the idea is, watch, how many of you have ever gone fishing? Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you clean the fish before you catch it or after you catch it? Are you always clean the fish? That's a dumb question, but the idea is you always clean the fish after you catch it. I tell you, this is the idea. People say all the time, well, I'm going to clean up my life, and then I'll come to Jesus. No, that's not the answer. You come to Jesus as you are a sinner. He works on cleaning up the life afterwards. That's the way God works. Now, some people come to the door, no shoes, no shirt, no service. But that's not the reading on this door. This is come as you are, and I will make you something from where you're at into something more like me. That's what he does. The last one let me give you is this. Some people come to the door, and they read a sign that says no trespassing. You see no trespassing signs. They come to the door, and what they think is, if you ever walked in the woods and you run across a sign that says no trespassing, you know what you think? I've gone too far. Can't go any further now. You know, some people, that's the way they see Christ. I really think I've gone too far to really be able to receive Christ. And that's not the case with anybody. I told you this many times, but the guy that I was in Atlanta, and I was knocking on doors, and the guy, his name was David. And as a matter of fact, and he I knocked on the door, I began to witness to him, and he was a soldier. I was still in the military at the time, and so we were talking, and he said, I told him about heaven and hell, about through Jesus Christ, he can have heaven, have eternal life. And what he said to me was, he said, now I'm going to hell, and I deserve to go to hell. And I said, well, really, be honest with you, David, everybody deserves hell for our sins, but Jesus Christ loved us enough to come and die for us so we can have eternal life and have our sins forgiven. And he said, you don't understand. He said, whenever I was deployed, He said a 9-year-old kid was running at the convoy, and he had a bag in his hand. He was just running at us. And he said, we kept telling him to stop, stop, stop. He wouldn't stop. And finally, I got the command. I had to shoot the 9-year-old kid. He said, I shot him and killed him. When we got over there to it, the bag was full of candy. It did not have anything in it that was bad. And he said, I killed somebody. I deserve to go to hell. And I said, let me share with you something maybe you didn't know. David was a man after God's own heart. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And I said, let me tell you another one that's even worse than that. Paul killed Christians and thought he was doing God a favor. And he led them to their deaths and watched them die. In fact, he held their coats while one of them was stoned to death right in front of him. I said, you know what? They both made it in because of the grace of God. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so he got saved there at his house after hearing all those things. I still think about it. It still stirs me up. But there's people that feel like that. They feel like, I've gone too far. I can't. Can I tell you today? Watch now. If you want the good things that come with the shepherd, you're going to have to go through the door. And you're going to have to stop making excuses for why you can't go through the door. You're going to have to just go through. And you can't go any other way than going through Jesus Christ. None of the religion, none of the church membership, none of that stuff. All those things, listen, baptism's good. Church membership is good. Giving to the poor is good. All those things are good. Going to the mission field is good. But they can't go to the mission field and earn their way through the door. You got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Let me say this. If you've never done that, if you've never come to a place where you realize you're a sinner, that you're separated from God, and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can I beg you this morning, stop playing church and leave the old sheepfold that you've been, whatever it is, and come through the door to the new sheepfold with the good shepherd who will lead you and guide you into truth and will guide you all the way to heaven. Could you just do that this morning? If you've never done it before, let me encourage you to do it. And if you are saved this morning, let me just encourage you to do this. Rejoice in the fact that you've got a good shepherd. Amen. And whatever you're going through, to just continue to go through it with Him. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. She's going to come and play. Brother Aaron's going to come and get us in a song. And we'll have a time of invitation this morning. And what this invitation time is, the time for you, if you need to come and pray, you can come pray. And if you need to get saved, you can come out here and accept the Lord as your Savior. You can do it in your chair. You can do it at the altar. But let me tell you this. You need to do it. You need to do it before it's everlasting too late. You need to put your faith and trust in Him. And then if you are saved today, maybe you need a good church home. This is a place. We can talk about that. If you're saved, you need to be baptized. You haven't been baptized after you've been saved. We can work on doing that as well. So many decisions can be made this morning. Lord God, Father, we love You. We thank You. We ask You to bless and do the work that only You can do in this invitation time. Touch the hearts of these people. Father, we love You. We thank You. Thank You for being the door. Thank You for being my shepherd. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for securing me. And Father, I'm thankful that You give me green pastures to feed in. Father, I love You, and I thank You for all You do, and I ask You to please help in the hearts of these people today. In Jesus' name, amen. What page?